over this audience tonight and this congregation. I don't see nothing but saved people. There's some young, they've not been saved yet, but maybe they've not reached the age of accountability either. But this is God's children. When we look around and we see a house full of saved people, we can say that we are among God's children. And I thank God for that. Of course, I wish we had a house full of lost. Maybe somebody would get saved. But I'm glad that we're here. And I'm glad that this church stands for what it stands for. I thank God for that. If you want to read with us tonight, we're going to be in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. Down in verse 10. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 10. Please pray for me as we try to stand for just a little while. It says, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the ways of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall." I want to stop just a second and make one quick comment about that verse. It says, "For they sleep not except they have done mischief." There's some people in this world actually worship evil, and they can't get rest unless they do some kind of evil or cause somebody else to do evil. It says, "And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall." There, like I said, there's some people that they're not happy unless they're doing something evil. They're not satisfied if they can't hurt somebody in some way. It says, "For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." I'm going to stop right there. If we had a thought tonight, it's stumbling. It says back up in here in verse 12, "When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble." You know, to stumble means to continue in a manner not as that you were going before. You know, stumbling don't always mean that you fall. Sometimes as we say, you stagger a little bit, but you don't fall. Sometimes when a person stumbles, they do fall. In the book of Psalms, first chapter, first two verses says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night." He's saying our blessed is the man that don't cause somebody else to stumble. You know, we can do that. As I said earlier, I'm glad to look back and see all these saved people here tonight. But we as saved people can cause others to stumble because we don't let our light shine all the time. We want to be Sunday Christians. We want to be a people that show up for church. We want to be a people that praises the pastor. We want to do everything we can to make ourselves and our church look good. And that's all right. There's nothing wrong with trying to make your church look good. There's nothing wrong with patting your pastor on the back every now and then. There's nothing wrong with worshiping with each other. Nothing wrong with building each other up when we have the opportunity. But when we do it only on that one day, then we're not doing it at all. As I said, we can cause people to stumble the other 6 days of the week. People look at us and they see us doing things and they say, "Well, I do as good as that one does. He's a church member." We need to watch what we're doing all the time because we can stumble. We can trip. But we can also pick ourselves up again. Whereas those that are out here in the world that are lost, they can't pick themselves up the way we can. If we get out of the will of God or we do something to irritate God or something, God's only a prayer away from us. We can ask Him to forgive us, to put us back into fellowship with Him, and He will. He'll take care of us. Proverbs 14 and 12, it says, "There's a way which seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." We do things that we think is right. But sometimes we don't consult God about them. We need to be prayerful in everything that we do, in everything that we try to do. And if we can be prayerful and listen to what God tells us, then we won't be a stumbling block in somebody else's way. Now, Jesus was called a stumbling block, but He was a stumbling block of the wicked. We don't need to be a stumbling block to keep someone away from God, to keep someone from the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to be taking this out. We need to be doing what we can to help people. When we look at this, it says the path of the just is as a shining light. We need to be a shining light so people can see the glorious things that we have now and the most glorious things that we're going to receive after we pass from this world. The things in this world. Yeah, there's some beautiful landscapes. There's beautiful places. There's places of peace, serenity. We can have enjoyment. But it's nothing compared to heaven. I'm looking forward to that day when I can go home. I'm looking forward to that day, not because I'm going to be down front. I mean, I'm going to be in the back somewhere, but I'll be there. And I'll be able to rejoice just as much as those down in front. I'll be able to sing with a voice unlike what I've got now. As the old saying is, and I've said it many times, I couldn't carry a tune in a basket. But when I get to heaven, I'll be able to sing perfectly the praises of God. So we need to watch what we do. We don't need to be holding up other people, keeping them away from God. We look in verses 26 and 27, this fourth chapter of the book of Proverbs, it says, "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all the ways be established. Follow what we've been taught." Listen to God's word. Let us do what we need to be doing. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy feet or thy foot from evil. My friends, we just don't need to be a stumbling block to anybody. Now it said there in that verse 19 of our reading, the way of the wicked is as darkness. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3 says that if the gospel be hid, it's hid unto them that are lost. So they know not at what they stumble. If people, even if they have heard the gospel, if they don't believe it, they don't know what they're stumbling at. People does not know unless they've been taught. At verse 27 I just read, we can say it like this. Turn not from the things that we've learned. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. We can do that. We can stay on the path that God has showed us. You know, everybody talks about the straight and narrow. God's path is straight and narrow. And sometimes we can get off of that path just a little bit, but we can get right back on it. People that are lost, people that are straying from the path, they don't even know what the path is. The Bible teaches us in Proverbs 1 verse 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Now that's not being afraid of God. That's not being scared of God. But that's having respect for God. That's learning for what He has. If I was scared of God, I'd run from Him. I wouldn't try to stay around Him. Things that scare me, I don't want to be around. But God has taught me things that I can live by. He's taught me things that I can worship by. And I have the greatest respect for God. And that's what that word fear means in that situation. And it goes on and it says, "But fools despise wisdom and instructions." Well, there are a lot of people in this world, they think they know everything. They think they know how to do any and all things. And we can't tell them anything better. But God can. God can reach into their hearts and He can turn their hearts from evil unto good. Now, how do we know this? If we look in the book of Isaiah, chapter 8, verse 13. Says, sanctify the Lord of hosts Himself, and let Him be your fear. Let Him be your dread, and He shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, and for a gin or a trap, and for a snare unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem. See, Israel is God's people. Always has been. God gave them the law to begin with. He gave them the instructions. He sent Jesus Christ to them first. They are His chosen people. And when they don't listen, and when they don't heed what they're being taught, their houses can fall. As a matter of fact, all down through the ages of time, every nation that has loved God has been built up. And then when they start falling away from God, they get tore down. Israel is a prime example of that. They were taken in bondage on several occasions. There's been great nations in this world today, and when they've turned their backs on God, they've fallen. As late as the 17th century, there was a saying that the sun never set on English ground. That's how great and big and powerful England was. Look at them now. They don't even own all the island that they survive on right now. They share that island with two other countries. You certainly can see the sun set on England now. And it's all because of their wicked ways. It says, talking about the houses of Israel and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and many among them shall stumble and fall, and be broken and be snared and be taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. Now listen to this. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth His face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for Him. Isaiah is not saying God's not there, but God is hiding His face from people that turn their back on Him. And He's still doing that today. God doesn't listen to evil. God doesn't build up the wrong things. Oh, we may think, well, where's God at in this situation? Well, I can't believe God's letting this happen. I've heard that so many times in my life. God allows people to do what they will. He's not going to make us come to Him. He's not going to make us worship Him. He doesn't want slaves. He wants people that loves Him. He doesn't want people that do things to look good in somebody else's eye. He does things for those that love Him. Always has, and He always will. Doesn't matter what nation it is. Doesn't matter what people it is. If they turn from their evil ways and begin to worship God, God will show them. But He's a stumbling block unto those that won't listen. And these people, when they stumble, it's not just a stagger. They fall. They fall out of their way, out of their way of doing things. They fall to the ground. In the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verse 42, it says, Jesus saith unto them, Did ye never read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Now listen to this. Whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. See, when we fall over the teachings of Jesus Christ, we come under conviction, and He saves us. But when we totally reject His teachings, then we're destroyed. When we leave this life rejecting God, when we leave this life rejecting Christ, we're destroyed. And it don't happen in just a few seconds. That destruction goes on forever, forever, and forever. It says, and when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard His parables, they perceived that He spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on Him, they feared the multitude, because they took Him for a prophet. See, there was a lot of people liked Him, but they didn't truly understand who He was. The Bible teaches us today that there's still a lot of people thinks of Christ as just a real good prophet instead of the Savior, instead of the Messiah. And that's true. There's a lot of people. They'll tell you, yeah, Jesus is real. He's a good old boy. God's real. And they think that gives them salvation. There's a lot of people in this world that believes in God that is not saved. We see these polls that come out every now and then in the news, and it says 60 or 70% of the people in America believe in God. The devils even believed in Christ. Those evil devils, those that tried to take over people's being, they believed in God. They believed in Christ. But yet, they had never been saved. And there's still people in the world like that today. I wonder what the actual number of saved people would be in this nation. I don't know. I'd be afraid to guess. I'd say it's nowhere near 60 or 70% of the population. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also are lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded," or he's not going to stumble. "Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." See, there's two different types of stumbling blocks. There's those that keep people away from the gospel of Christ. God forbid that we would be any of them. But then there's Jesus Christ himself, which people stumble at because of the evil they do and the good that he is. Now, when Christ causes somebody to stumble, when he presents himself as a rock of offense to some evil person, that person has two choices. They can believe Christ and get saved, or they can reject him and continue on in their miserable, miserable ways. And when they reject him, that stone of offense, it falls on them and grinds them to powder, as we read just a few minutes ago. We need to make sure that we don't cause anybody to stumble. Paul, when he was writing to the church, to the people at Galatia, chapter 1, verse 6, he said, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. They're listening to perverted words. They're not listening to the true gospel. And there's a whole lot of that out there in the world today. There is so much. You know, as the Bible says, there'll be a time when people call good bad and bad good. We're living in those days now. There's a lot of evil out there in the world that people are calling good. And there's a lot of good out there in the world that people are calling evil. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. We see that. We see it in our world today. We see it in our lives today. And you know, some of it is so close to the truth, we let it slip by and don't think nothing about it. The only thing that close is good in is horseshoes. Close is not good enough in anything else. It says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Sort of like toward the end of the book of Revelation. As whoever changes this word, the evils of this book, now it's not quoted, but the evils of this book will be plagued upon him, or the plagues of this book will descend upon him, or something like that. What he's trying to tell us is that if we change God's word, woe be unto us. It says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You know, when we teach somebody the word of Christ, somebody's going to be offended. If we're in a big group of people, everything we say is not going to make everybody happy. Gospel didn't make me happy when I came under convictions. First made me mad, then it made me sad, and then it made me sorrowful. Wasn't happy with the gospel when I first realized it. And when we speak to people that are lost, we're not going to please them all the time either. But it still needs to be said. It says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. I know a little something about that. Because when I was 12 years old, there was a man told me I got saved. That don't work. Just don't work. But when I was 34 and God saved my soul, nobody had to tell me. Because it was real. It was true. And it came from Jesus Christ, not some man. I just pray and hope that none of us ever become a stumbling block unto somebody else, even by accident. I pray that we're strong in God's word and we stay strong in God's word and we do what we would have, what He would have us to do. There's times when we say to ourselves, well, it's me, ain't nobody else got an answer but me. That's true. Sometimes our actions affect other people in the wrong way. First message I ever preached in my life was about Jonah and how his problems affected other people. Now, he wouldn't go to preach his word, preach God's word. Tried to go some other way. And he cost all those sailors, all those people on the ship, their livelihood for whatever period of time. So his sins didn't just affect him. It affected those too. We don't need to be a stumbling block for anyone. But we need to hold up Jesus Christ and let Him be the stumbling block. Because that way, they'll know where it's coming from. That's our little message for tonight. That's what the Lord laid on my heart. And I just hope and pray that this church and this people is found doing what they're doing now as long as time goes on. God bless you all. Brother Miller.